The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time, where we've always got fresh, new teaching for you that's exciting and for this season today. What we're talking about today is about how we as Christians, we need to be led by the Spirit of God everywhere we go and in everything we do. This is the standard by which we should shoot for, that we should try to measure ourselves by. Every day, we should make it our goal that we hear from God and we obey Him and we do what He says. The reason why this is so important is because the leading of the Spirit is something that separates us Christians from other people, okay? You can say, oh, well, I believe God and I'm standing and believing in the Lord. But if you're not actually being led by God and led by the Spirit, then you're living your life just as the rest of the world is. We are called by Jesus, really, to leave our own nature behind. We have to lay down our old nature and embrace God because we're the body of Christ, okay? So some of us may function as the foot or the hand or various parts of the body, right? But who's the head? It's Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. What this means is that we actually surrender our mind so that we can take on the mind of Christ. So you don't actually do your own thinking. You're not coming up with the plan. You're not coming up with the ideas. Instead, Jesus, the Lord, is the one who gives us instruction. This is why Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, and you can do nothing unless it is through me, right? If you're not attached to the vine, well, then you're going to wither and die. And this is what it is like in the kingdom of God. You have to take on this mindset that it has to be all of God and none of you. It has to be all of God. You actually have to deny yourself and deny your own nature, your own desires, your ambitions to take on the plan of God. Now, this is something that as Christians, many Christians spend their whole walk and they never actually reach this point. They accept Jesus as their Savior and they'll sing to Him and they'll, sing His praises, but they never actually make Jesus the Lord of their life. When they go and make plans, they make their own plans. When they make a decision, they make their own decision. They don't involve God in the intimate details of their life. So in doing that, well, you have not actually made Jesus your Lord. Now you maybe you can still live a decent and good life, right? Oh, and you might think to yourself, well, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't kill, all these things. But God has a great and mighty calling for you. God has called you to do great and mighty things that will change the face of history. But in order to do that, you have to completely surrender your will, your ambitions, your desires. This is what is required by those that will be called by the Lord and that will answer the call. But unless you are willing to surrender those things, you are limiting what God can do in your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, He said, whoever wants to be my disciple, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Right? Ask yourself this. Well, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to do this. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, this is the kind of dichotomy that exists in the kingdom of God. In order to truly discover the fullness of life that God has for you, you actually have to completely surrender it to God. Your desires, your ambitions, your plans, you got to lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, you know what? I am surrendering this to you, Lord. I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to entrust you with it because I know you have a better plan for me. And this is what you have to remember. Anything you might plan for yourself, anything you might want for yourself, God has something better for you, even if you can't understand it. You have to trust God with these things. Jesus continues. He says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." Right? Here, Jesus is saying the same thing in these two different gospels. This is so important for the kingdom of God, and it's so important for the maturing of Christians in this day, because many Christians, they'll receive their salvation, but they do not surrender their life to God. They will still live their life as they please. Oh, but I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't kill, right? And they think that, okay, well, I'm living a good life. Many Christians operate in this zone that's kind of like the permissive will of God, right? Where, well, I'm not doing anything bad, but what God has for you requires you to step into his perfect will. And this is a very important difference, because in order to reach the fullness of the calling that God has for you, you have to seek his perfect will in your life, which means you do have to surrender every part of yourself, your family life, your love relationships, your finances, your business, everything. It has to be laid down at the feet of Jesus, and you have to say to him, I'm going to do it your way. What you lead me to do, I will do it. Because the calling of God requires you to walk your faith in this manner, and it requires complete surrender. Now, God is not telling you to give up these things because he wants to punish you. No, it's because he has something greater for you. He has something far, far greater. You think of somebody like Abraham, who Abraham just wanted a son, right? He was getting into 80 and then 90 years old. He just wanted a son. But then God said to Abraham, what I have for you is that you would be the father of many nations and that your descendants will be as numerous as the stars, right? That's the difference between what you want for yourself and what God wants for you. But in order to step into that, well, Abraham, he had to leave everything behind. He had to leave his family, his father's household, his friends, everything, to go to a land that he didn't know of, that he didn't know where he was going, but God led him to it. This is what God will require of you, to step into the fullness of your leadership. But see, a lot of Christians, they have in mind, well, I want this, and this is what I'm going to get, and they'll fight for it, and they'll push for it, and they'll press and press and press to try and make it happen. And then at the end, they'll pray to God, God, please bless this thing, even though the whole time you were trying to force it to come to pass. You were not actually surrendering to the Lord. Because everyone called in the Bible, the calling that the Lord gave them was not something that they chose for themselves. Abraham did not choose to be the father of many nations. David did not choose to become king of Israel. Jesus, if he had the choice, he didn't want to go to the cross. He even said, Lord, Father, if this cup can pass over me, please let it pass over me. But in the end, Jesus said, nonetheless, not my will, but your will be done. Okay? So the calling of God is not something you choose for yourself. It's something that's thrust upon you, and you have to take it upon yourself. I will take on this responsibility, and I will answer the call. Okay? And when you answer that call, well, the Lord, he'll equip you and enable you to do it, right? His spirit will come upon you, and then the anointing will follow with you. But it comes as you obey the Lord and step out in faith. Now, in order to truly step into the will of God, the plan of God that he has for you, something you also need to guard against is presumption and assumption. I want you to think about in your own life, with your own personality, those things that maybe you're opinionated about. Maybe you have a lot of things that you consider yourself an expert in. Maybe you're really opinionated concerning politics. Maybe you're really opinionated concerning health and food and wellness. Maybe you're really opinionated concerning technology or media or movies, whatever it may be. Okay? Everyone has their niches, right? But I want you to notice what happens within yourself when one of those topics comes up, for example, politics, okay? Maybe you hear something, nope, that's not right, right? Nope, that's not right. It needs to be like this, right? And the opinion, it springs up out of you, you can't even help yourself, right? Where you're just going to start blurting out, nope, nope, this is what I think about this, and this is what they need to do, and this is what I need to do, right? Now, what you need to observe within yourself is the second you start blurting out your opinions, right? And maybe you get really riled up, especially with something like politics. Let's face it, people get really heated in topics such as politics, okay? The second you start speaking in that manner, you are now in the flesh because you are now in your own opinions, your own headspace, your own ways of thinking, okay? And you know what? Maybe you might be very well convinced that, well, I'm correct concerning this. I've got all the facts. I've got all the things and all the research. I know what I'm talking about. But the thing is that the second you start getting into that line of thinking, you have now stepped out of the spirit. No longer is it God speaking through you, it's yourself, right? If I start railing off a bunch of opinions about something I'm really passionate about, I'm no longer speaking and releasing the word of God, I'm speaking Joshua's words, okay? Now, this is very important because in order for you to step into the fullness of your calling, you actually have to be able to lay aside your preferences, your opinions, and take on the mind of Christ, which means we're quick to listen, we're slow to speak. And the reason why this is important is because our presumptions and assumptions, they can actually be dangerous. If you are so firm in your ways of thinking that it's immovable, unshakable, you have now made it to where in that area of your life, the Holy Spirit cannot use you and cannot work within you. And I want to show you a very clear example of this. You see, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was telling his disciples of the things that were to come. It says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, we all know this, right? That's what the prophecy said. Now, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. He said, never, Lord. This will never happen to you. You see, Peter was very firm in his perception of what the Messiah was supposed to look like. He had this idea that the Messiah was going to come in. He was going to free the Israelites from their captives. He was going to begin ruling and reigning over Jerusalem and the nation. Okay. And so this idea that Jesus would be beaten and flogged and humiliated and die, okay, at the hands of the teachers of the law was something so outside of the realm of everything that Peter thought the Messiah was supposed to look like. But not only that, you could actually rationalize Peter's ways of thinking. You could even spiritualize it. No, no, that's not from the Lord. You're not going to suffer, Jesus. Because, you know, all of God's promises, they're yes and amen. And God's just going to bless you. And God's going to do this and do that. And there's these scriptures and these scriptures. You could come up with all kinds of scriptures and justifications to justify Peter's opinion that he felt such righteous indignation for. But Jesus turns to Peter, and this is what he says. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Peter was so entrenched into his ways of thinking, he began playing the role of Satan for Jesus, the Antichrist. He was opposing the will of God in Jesus's life because Peter was so entrenched into his ways of thinking and his own opinions. This is why I have to warn you about this. Because if you have become so entrenched and, well, things have to be this way and this is correct and I'm right on this, if you are so entrenched in that, you may very well unknowingly be opposing the will of God in your life or somebody else's life. And just like Peter, you may end up being a stumbling block for somebody else. This is why we have to guard our hearts, and we have to be wary of our assumptions and presumptions. Because at the time, all the teachers of the law, most of the Israelites, they had a specific perception of what the Messiah was supposed to look like. Jesus didn't look like that. God's plan in your life may very well not look like what you expect it will look like, or what anybody around you might expect it will look like. We need to be led by the Spirit of God in everything we do. And if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you may very well be unknowingly opposing the move of God. Now, this can be a difficult thing to deal with, especially in those things that you're really passionate about, and maybe you've done your research, right? Maybe you've got all the facts lined up. The truth is, though, the wisdom of God supersedes the wisdom of man. We actually have to treat all of our knowledge, all of our understanding, as garbage compared to knowing the ways of God. That's exactly what Paul said. And he said to, when he was writing the epistles, he said, look, I was a Jew among Jews, right? If anyone could boast in upholding the laws of Moses, I could boast on my works and the things that I've done and my education and my background. But I, Paul, I count it all as nothing compared to knowing Christ Jesus. This is the attitude you have to take. Any matter that you may consider yourself an expert in, any matter that you feel so confident that you're right in this, you need to be sure to leave room for the Holy Spirit in those things. Be open to the leading of God. This is why when you feel maybe it's a topic that's controversial and gets you upset, when you feel those opinions rising up within you and you want to just blurt it out, right? You just want to, you just start correcting people. Take a pause, be quick to listen, be slow to speak. Because you need to make it your goal that when you open your mouth, it's not just you, it is God speaking through you. That is the model that Jesus set for us. And you know what? That saved Jesus a lot of trouble. Because you know, everywhere that Jesus went, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they kept trying to trap him in something. Oh, Jesus, could you tell us your opinion on this? Could you tell us your opinion on that? You know, if a woman, if she gets divorced, and then she remarries, and then that guy dies, and then she remarries again, and then she gets divorced again, and, you know, and she gets remarried 7 times. When that woman goes to heaven, who will be her husband? You know, Jesus, what's your opinion on this? Right? Why were they asking him all these questions? It was not because they actually genuinely were interested in what Jesus had to say. It's because they wanted to try and trap him in something. Oh, he said this. This isn't biblical. Oh, no, that doesn't make sense. Jesus, what about this? They wanted to find an opportunity to create problems for Jesus and to delegitimize him, okay? This is not unlike in this day where you have all the media vultures, right? They're just looking to pounce, right? Oh, what's your opinion on this? What do you think about this, right? And then the second somebody misspeaks or the second somebody acts, you know, does the wrong thing, well, you know it's going to be plastered everywhere. Right? It's that same kind of spirit, okay? But so many people, right, the second somebody asks, well, what do you think about this? You need to remember, the words that people need to hear, they don't need to be your own opinions. It needs to be the word of God. So that now, when somebody asks you your opinion on something, or they want you to, you know, speak onto an issue, you're not speaking with your own wisdom. You're speaking with God's wisdom. And that's why Jesus, no matter what traps the Pharisees and Sadducees laid for him, he always confounded them, right? They couldn't pin him down no matter what, okay? And in this day and age, right, if the media and stuff, if they were digging into Jesus and they were trying to find dirt on him, they would find nothing. This is the standard by which we have to carry ourselves, because now we are the reflection of Christ Jesus here on earth. They need to see Christ Jesus in us. For example, you think about somebody like Daniel, who Nebuchadnezzar found to be wiser than all of his wisest men. Why? Because God gave Daniel wisdom. Daniel honored God, and God gave him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So much so that the scripture says that Nebuchadnezzar found him and his friends to be 10 times wiser than the wisest men in Babylon. That'd be like in this day and age, you think of all of the smartest scientists, inventors, engineers, lawyers, right, in this nation coming from the best schools, MIT, Harvard, Yale, wherever it is, you being found to be 10 times smarter and wiser than them. That's what Daniel was like in his day and age. But why? It wasn't because Daniel was special. It's because Daniel was given wisdom and understanding from the Spirit of God. Now, what happens is when King Darius saw how distinguished and amazing Daniel was, well, Darius wanted to put him over the entire kingdom. And Daniel's people that didn't like Daniel, right, that they wanted that position, they started scheming against him. And what happens is in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "Now Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities, that the king planned to set him over the entire kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so." Right? There's got to be something that Daniel's doing wrong. We got to find some dirt on this guy, right? It'd be like if the media was trying to dig up all of his past, all of his tax returns, everything, and they were able to find nothing on him. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. That means that not only was Daniel not corrupt, it means that he was a good worker and a good steward that could be entrusted with the position he was given. "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" This is the standard by which we need to carry ourselves. Okay? One, you have the Spirit of God in you, which means you actually should be able to solve problems that nobody else can solve, because you serve a God who's the revealer of mysteries. So if you're at a job and people can't figure out a solution to the problem, you can go before the Lord God and say, "God, how do we address this issue?" And he will give you wisdom. That is exactly what Daniel did and Joseph did. Secondly, you should hold yourself to such a standard that when even people are trying to find all kinds of dirt on you, they can't find nothing, because you carry yourself with integrity, you're a good worker, you're diligent, not lazy, and there's no corruption in you. This is the standard that Christians should hold themselves to in everything we do. But it starts with you being led by the Holy Spirit in everything you do. You need to seek out the perfect will of God, because God is looking to begin raising up leaders from among the body of Christ, people that he will send to every industry: finance, real estate, politics, education, technology. All of these sectors of society, God is looking to raise up Christians who hear his voice and will obey him. When that happens, you will be elevated to positions of influence and authority. And when people, they start asking for your opinions, "Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think should be done about this?" When that happens, if you've been following the leading of the Holy Spirit and been disciplining yourself now, rather than it being your opinion that comes out of your mouth, "Oh, well, you know, I think that blah, 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 blah," right? Rather than that happening, when you open your mouth, it will be God-breathed straight from the Spirit of God. And that's what this nation needs in this generation, okay? Because it's not going to be any one individual that's going to bring this move of God, that's going to bring transformation and revival in Washington, D.C. It's not going to be any one individual, but all of us as the body of Christ need to begin walking with the Lord now. We need to begin obeying the Lord now, because this move is here, it is now, and God is moving mightily to transform this nation for the better. And that's an exciting thing, guys. So hopefully this has encouraged you. In this time now, don't delay. You need to examine your heart, because you know if there's areas in your own life that you have not yet surrendered to the Lord. You know if there's areas in your life that you have become so stubborn and unmoving that there's no room for the Holy Spirit. The truth is that any encounter with the Lord, well, you will be changed when you encounter God. And that's a good thing, because you're going to be transformed into a new creation, something that's far better, but someone who God's Spirit and anointing will follow you wherever you go. So that's an exciting thing. It's time for the Daniels and the Josephs to arise in this day. And the last thing I want to lead you with is, remember this, is that Daniel and Joseph, they weren't political. They served God first. And because of that, well, they were able to transform the hearts of kings. So in this day, remember this. We serve God first. We are Christians first, and we operate under the kingdom of God first. And in doing that, we will transform this nation for the better. Amen. Well, I'm out of time for this week, so I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.